This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information or to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture, P-H-A-R-M. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman, and from now until September 15th, buy one bottle of Black for Health and get one bottle of Elderberry with Zinc and Echinacea, half off, at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk to an advocate for health who's written a great book on minerals, but she has a special bone to pick with the hospital establishment. Recently, a press release came to my attention, which was authored by today's guest. Entitled Supersized Food Can Mean Undersized Profits for Hospitals. Okay, that's the proposition. And with us to discuss that is Joy Stevenson Laws. She's an attorney. She's a JD. She's managing partner of a law firm, Stevenson, Acquisto, and Coleman. And it's actually, she is actually the founding and managing partner of this law firm, which is one of the healthcare industry's premier litigation law firms. So it's interesting that she comes to us with a health perspective, and she's just written her first book not on torts, not on legal liability, not on malpractice, but on minerals. So perhaps, Joy, you can explain how you came from the realm of law to an interest in health.
Yes. Well, I'm an attorney that practices healthcare law. So, it's inevitable that we have to learn that area very well if we're going to cross-examine experts like yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and please don't cross-examine me. I'm already getting nervous hearing that.
So I've been doing this for 30 plus years, and over time it's inevitable that you're going to, you know, understand the area pretty well and have a clear understanding as to how the hospital industry operates and you know, review tons of medical records so that you can educate yourself and represent your client efficiently. So in doing so, you recognize how the industry works, and especially in the food area. I remember back in the days when I'd have lunch at some of the hospitals, the food was not exactly very healthy. A lot has changed since then, though. Mm-hmm. And so I would make observations, and that's why I wrote that article. It's one thing to provide, you know, foods that the patients might ask for because they love those type of foods. But if you're a hospital, I think you owe a duty to the public to educate your patients that those foods may not be the healthiest for you. And
moment when people are sick and you know you got their attention big time, and then you feed them all kinds of poor quality food. You know, just had a heart attack and they want to feed you burger or something. Wait a minute.
Because as a patient, you're a captive audience. You're so right about that. Yeah. So what needs to happen is I think at that point when they have you in their facility, that is the point at which they should be telling you about nutrition. And I don't, if you've read a number of my articles, and even as you have, and maybe the book as well, you'll notice that the emphasis on the importance of nutrition is highlighted there quite a bit, because it's my opinion that nutrition forms the basis of our health, and it needs to be communicated in a way that to consumers in a way that they can understand that premise. You know the six basic nutrients, of course, you know, carbohydrates, fats, water, minerals, vitamins, proteins, and they have to be present in our bodies in the right proportion. And if we educate our consumers or patients as to why we need them, you know, it's not just telling them you need to eat fruits and vegetables, because we hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's understanding that the fruits and vegetables have minerals and vitamins in them, and it has it in the right proportion, you know, and it has it in a way that our bodies, for the most part, should be able to absorb them. And it's important that, you know, when we have an opportunity to highlight those issues, you know, that we do so that they appreciate the importance of eating healthily, and not just think that, you know, they're eating healthily to please someone or because they've heard it on the news and it's probably a good thing, but it's not that big of a deal.
Indeed. What's of interest to me is that you have a background in pre-med. So at some point in your educational career, you had an interest, a deep and abiding fascination with issues related to health. Then your career took a different turn. You went into law. Of course, it's health-related law, so that's not completely disengaged from your original interest. So tell us a little bit about your background. You studied a lot of biochemistry, right?
I did. I studied a lot of biology. I studied a bit of chemistry. I did not like organic chemistry.
Oh, no. Uh-huh.
Because for some reason it was not understandable at the time. I couldn't relate it to real life.
It didn't seem relevant. We were studying it in the abstract.
Precisely. What I've said to my
listeners is that, you know, I already had an interest in nutrition when I was studying biochemistry, and it was so boring that I tried to relate it to, like, hey, you know, this thing with this strange name, you know, nicotinic acid, you know, this is actually a vitamin, you know, this, you know, thiamine, okay, that's a vitamin. And, you know, we learned it as some isolated chemical structure in a, you know, some molecular pathway. But then I would relate it to the foods that we eat or the supplements that we recommend. And that actually helped me a little bit. You know, keep my eyes open and memorize some of that.
Right. You're so right about that. Because it has to be, I think there has to be some way to make it relatable when you're learning it and not just learning it in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the turnoff was. I think if I were to do it again, it would make more sense because I could have other things to relate it to. But back when you're like, in my case, 16, 17, doing that stuff, it didn't really make any sense.
So your career took a different turn, but now you're coming back to become a health advocate. Okay, so in your article, which is entitled Supersized Food Can Mean Undersized Profits for Hospitals, you draw from the example of the British National Health Service, the NHS, which has undertaken an effort to kind of keep a lid on some of the junk foods that infiltrate hospitals. You know, here in the United States, it seems like there's a perverse incentive because some hospitals get subsidized by renting space to fast food eateries. You know, these
that
big chains, they infiltrate the hospitals. And so you have this kind of bizarre juxtaposition of this is a place for healing. And then there's, you know, a McDonald's, you know, or a, you know,
or Burger King
or something.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is so true. But I think what the problem is going to be is the reimbursement, because it's one thing to be trying to make money from renting the space out to fast food companies. What's happening now, though, is that a lot of hospitals aren't getting reimbursed for certain services that they're providing to patients, because patients are either not insured or the insurance company, if the patients stay longer in the hospitals, the insurance companies aren't paying for the length of stay. And by providing that type of food to the patient, it's not enabling them to get better. It's not allowing them to get better quicker. So it behooves the hospitals to be a lot more aware of how they're treating the patients and providing, you know, that they should provide nutrition, proper nutrition to these patients so that they can get in better faster and leave the hospital.
Right. So
because
what you're saying
is
that they should exchange the lure of short-term gain from the rentals to these, you know, putting vending machines in the hospital corridors and
right.
For the more long-term benefit of reducing healthcare costs, because there are these now new incentives to basically keep patients out of the hospital. The more you keep, send them home and they stay home, it's better for the hospital.
It's better for the hospital because they're going to lose money by keeping the patients in there for a longer period.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that has started to happen.
So are we making any inroads? I mean, do we have, I don't know what part of the world you're in, but, you know, hospitals are changing. I've seen, you know, the inside of hospitals lately and visiting relatives and patients. And the scene is changing a little bit. There's not these sort of stark contrasts, you know, where really poor quality food is being purveyed, especially some of the newer hospital facilities. They're really designed beautifully.
Oh, they're awesome. There are quite a few of my clients where I will deliberately go there when I go to visit and have lunch there, because the quality foods that they provide, it's great. You have a wide variety of salads and vegetables and, you know, fruits, and you have healthy meals. If you're vegan, you can get vegan food. I mean, they're starting to listen. There are just a few hospitals that still have the, you know, Burger King, et cetera, mm-hmm. model. And I think they're realizing too that it's not worth it in the long run. So, and the fact that the clients or the patients ask for it doesn't necessarily mean that you give it to them. So, you know.
Right. I mean, just you kind of have to lead by example, and you know, it's not just you know, consumer demand that should guide their choices. Among the approaches that you advocate in this article, offering more plant-based diet choices, adding organic foods, and using antibiotic-free meat. That's maybe a bridge too far for some of these hospitals. They're on a strict budget, and, you know, the meals that they deliver to patients sitting in the rooms, I'm not sure they're going to offer such premium quality food, although they should.
No, and actually, many have started to do that. For example, antibiotic-free meat, you know, mm-hmm. is something that is being used more.
They totally should do it because of the problem of antibiotic resistance in the hospitals, right?
Precisely. The organic foods could be a bit of a problem, but I know many of them have started to work with like local farmers to make sure that they can get foods from that source. Now, they're ending contracts with fast food restaurants. Some of them have started to do that. So it's work in progress. It's up to us to highlight the problem and make them aware that they have a duty to make sure that the public remain healthy, and that they too have a duty to teach nutrition to the public in a way that they understand it and lead by example. So I think we're getting better.
I heard of an initiative, I think it's in California, because California is like a trendsetter, where they have community markets sometimes. They stage community markets outside of hospitals and outside of outpatient facilities, which is a great idea, because, you know, you go to the doctor and then you go to the market, and hopefully the doctor is going to encourage you to make the changes, and the changes are readily available right there at the community health center. That, I think, is certainly the wave of the future, and perhaps also, you know, as an adjunct to the hospital, to have perhaps places where people can come and learn how to prepare the foods, you know, get lectures on how to stretch a dollar, you know, by buying, you know, less packaged food, more, you know, basic ingredients, so spending a little extra time, you know, sourcing them and putting them together. And, you know, because I think a lot of people eat badly because they're eating fast food. You know, they just don't want to take the time.
Yeah, and they don't know better. Yeah. And many of us don't know better. And even in terms of shopping, I know a lot of healthcare facilities will even tell, you know, or go with clients to shop, you know, telling them where to shop in the supermarkets, you know, go in the outer aisles and not go to the middle. I mean, they're making an effort to reach out to the community. And I think more of us should, because we assume that the consumers know so much, but many really do not know as much as we think they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you say here in your article that even the American Medical Association, the hidebound AMA, has issued a policy statement that called for the reduction of sugar-sweetened beverages and processed meats and an increase in the availability of healthful plant-based foods in hospitals. Okay, well, you know, they have the bully pulpit, so maybe some things will get changed.
Yeah, we hope, because it comes back to education. They have a duty to educate the public, so they have to lead by example as well.
Indeed. Okay, we're going to get to your book in a moment, but tell us a little bit about something you're involved in, Proactive Health Labs. What's that about?
Okay, yeah, and that's where, my law firm and myself made an effort to reach out to the public and provide information in a way that everyone can understand it and not put the hyper, technical medicalese language that nobody can understand when it comes to nutrition. What Proactive does is provide information in an easy to understand way to the public so that they can improve their lives, because it's our firm belief that nutrition imbalance is one of the leading causes of healthcare issues that, the healthcare issues that we face in our country. And as you probably know, obesity is on the rise, or has been on the rise. I know it's starting to go down a little bit right now, but it has been increasing, and it contributes to such diseases as, diabetes and hypertension and cancer and the whole bit. So if we know the critical role that nutrition plays in our lives, then we will take steps to change our habits so that we can be healthier. So what our website does at phlabs.org is provide information on foods that we need to eat, why we need to eat it, what are the nutrients in those foods, so that we don't just take it for granted that, we're just eating something because we probably like it. We're eating it because it's a necessity. Why we shouldn't overcook our foods, things like that. We provide that type of information to the consumer, talk about diseases in a simple to understand way so that they appreciate the importance of being nutritionally balanced. And it being nutritionally balanced, obviously, is not just about focusing on carbohydrates and proteins and fats and water. It's important to understand the important, minerals and vitamins and the different types that are there and why they're necessary, so that if you have hypertension, you might want to discuss whether or not you're imbalanced with your doctor, as opposed to just, tell your doctor, I'm feeling this way, or realizing that you have hypertension, and then just take medications without discussing alternatives with your doctor, or understanding that medications themselves have side effects, so that those side effects can be addressed through, taking vitamins or minerals to counter them. So these are discussions that we encourage people to have with their doctors.
Well, I'm all for that. I just authored a 4-part series on the new blood pressure goals, which render 31 million more Americans hypertensive. We're kind of changing the goalposts, moving them, and more and more people fall into that category. And hopefully doctors will address those people who, unless they have sky-high blood pressure, with the lifestyle changes that you talk about. I think should be really the thrust. You have health centers in this is a West Coast base, but everybody can access your website. Santa Monica, my old digs. That's where I grew up. I went to Santa Monica High School, Sherman Oaks Health Center. Now there's an opportunity there for assessment. It says health screenings using technology not often used by traditional doctors. That sounds a little bit like what I do in my practice. I mean, you test for vitamins, minerals, nutrition screenings.
Yes, we do. And in addition to that, something that's often overlooked, but it's pretty simple. Not only do we test for the nutrient imbalance, but we also test for body composition imbalance. Mm-hmm. So, people talk about being obese. Yep. And we look at how much people weigh. Mm-hmm. But we go beyond that. It's not so much how much you weigh, but how much fat you have.
Right.
So if you have a body fat of over, 30 or 35%, right. No matter what your weight is, you could be skinny, mm-hmm. you're still fat.
Yeah.
And we also look at the water balance. Most men are supposed to have about 60% body fat, water, and right. women about 50 to 55%. If you have too much or too little, it's an imbalance that right. you have to address. So these are things that we look at, the basic nutrients and things that make us healthy. And if they're in balance, then there's a good chance that you're going to have a healthy life. If they're not in balance, then there's a good chance that you won't be healthy.
Indeed. Well, it's laudable because, it sounds like you've got a day job, working with hospitals, dealing with, all the new regulations, because they need lawyers to interpret them, and maybe they've got lawsuits, so they've got legal wranglings and stuff. I guess that's what you do in your your main incarnation. Right. But then you have this sort of second, application, which is kind of spreading the gospel about health, which is great.
Yes, and because it hits close to home, you know, even though we represent hospitals, we're all healthcare consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have relatives and friends who get sick and go to the doctor or who have health issues. So, you know, healthcare is something that affects everyone because we're all consumers. So I think it behooves us to understand as much as we can about that area so that we can utilize the healthcare that we have in this country effectively.
Indeed. Okay, so we've laid the groundwork for a discussion in part two about your new book on the subject of minerals, and it fills a gap because I can't think of a single book that specifically targets minerals. Certain books about, you know, this vitamin, that vitamin, you know, or this condition, that condition, but yours deals with specifically with minerals. We're going to tackle that in part two. So, folks, stay with us, and we'll be right back. And I was going to give you the honorary title of doctor, but you are a JD, a Juris Doctor, not an MD. So Joyce Stevenson Law's JD on the subject of minerals when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.